City Council meeting on Sunday, November 9th, 7:00 p.m.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's Othello City Council meeting of November 9th, 2015. I've asked Eugene Bain to lead us in a short prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Would you all please rise?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Pray that we make good and wise decisions, Lord, and that everything go as your will. And let us be mindful of the things that need to be taken care of tonight in your name. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. We move to item 1.3 on our agenda, roll call. I noticed that all of our council members are present, so we'll move to item 1.4 on our agenda. This is the citizen input portion where citizens have an opportunity to address the Othello City Council with any item that they wish. If you desire, please raise your hand. I'll recognize you, and you can step to the microphone, and you'll state your name and address for the record, and you'll be given 5 minutes. Is there anyone here in the public who would like to address the City Council tonight? Okay. We'll move to item 2, approval of agenda. Second. We have a motion made and second to approve tonight's agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3, consent agenda. Entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to our current business agreement with Adams County Building Department, and we have a report from Travis Goddard, our Community Development Director.
Good evening. I just wanted to bring you up to speed. We have been talking with Adams County Building and Planning Department about the use of Tim Unra, who is the city, or I'm sorry, he's the county building inspector, and also with the county regarding the use of their permit track system. It is a permit tracking system that allows them to cross-reference the applications, both land use and building, with the properties in the county. And they've offered that to us so that we may track both our building and land use applications. At this point, if we engage them for building inspections, we would use the exact same tracking system so that we can schedule Tim's time without having to call him every time an application comes in the door. And that's something that Tricia would handle as part of her normal duties. Currently, we don't have a permit tracking system. We create a paper copy. She does the receipting through a bias, and then the information is transmitted electronically to Daryl. And when he comes to town, he does the building permit inspections that have been lined up to him with him over the phone or over email. This system will allow for Tim, who is located across the street at the county building, to be called upon, and he has promised that he would have a 24-hour callback, or basically one working day. He would respond to building permit inspection requests within one working day. So it provides an opportunity for us to have somebody in town to respond to building inspections. At this point, are there any questions?
So he'd have 24 hours to respond to an inspection and not?
Theoretically, you'd be able to call and get an inspection the next business day.
Okay, that kind of worries me because I hear that's not happening out in the county. So I can, as a builder, I kind of want to know that that's going to happen, because if I'm going to sit 3 days to get a building inspected, for insulation, for cover, for whatever the cause may be. 3 days is 3 days, and I know they've been waiting longer than that.
Sure.
And he doesn't even have the job for the city yet.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point. I have heard that from somebody else also, but unfortunately I don't know exactly what's going on over there. So I will have the ability to call him directly and ask him to do specific inspections if something like that were to arise. Part of my understanding is he also has to figure out how he's going to use his time, because if it's an inspection up in Ritzville, it takes him an hour to drive up there to do the inspection and then an hour to drive back. So he tries to group them so that he could do as many of them as efficiently as possible. But yeah, under this new system, theoretically, he should be more responsive because he's already in town. That's what our goal is. And if it doesn't work out, then I have the authority to call Lauren and express my concern about the timeliness. So.
And in addition to that, according to the contract, we can provide 60-day notice if this isn't working. They can provide us 60 days notice if it isn't working.
So this is a contract?
This is a contract.
This is a contract with the county?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why isn't it written in there as a stipulation or a paragraph of the contract that there's 24-hour response?
I suppose we can talk to them about that. I think that's something that Lauren and I can make arrangements. There is some flexibility in the contract that would allow us to make arrangements with Lauren. One of the concerns the county commissioners had, that was, is that there wasn't necessarily a decrease in time given to county building permits. And so the limitation is 16 hours a week, but it has the flexibility for us to take, say, 4 days in 1 week if it was a big project, and then he might not work for us the next week. So we will be able to flex it within that period. So theoretically, he has the flexibility to be responsive to us without it being written in there. And one of my concerns with having that specific language in there is we would then have to put some kind of clause that if he doesn't respond within 24 hours, what would our option be? To not pay him for do that inspection. It gets into a little more difficult to administer if it was a requirement of the contract rather than an expectation of performance.
Is it your opinion that we just need to, because this is the direction the City Council has directed you and your staff to work out a contract with the county. Do we just need to trust you and the department for a period of time to see if this arrangement works? And then if we do run into trouble, we can go back to revise, you know, maybe provisions of the contract that would need to be. But I think at this point, yeah, it's more important to get an agreement and then to move forward. This is just my opinion. And we'll fine-tune it as we go along. If we find out that we're having trouble, like with timeliness or potentially other issues that we can't foresee at the moment, I think we can adjust and go forward. What do you think, Council?
Well, Sean, does this replace Daryl entirely?
Yeah.
So he's gone. The budget we had set forth for Daryl and Daryl's work is being replaced by the county.
Yes.
Okay.
What's the difference in the amounts between Daryl's and this?
I had laid that out in the box in the staff report or the agenda memo, and it is roughly equivalent to what we're currently paying him. And Tim is certified for both residential and commercial inspections, and Daryl is not. So essentially we should be getting somebody who's more technically savvy. Also the fact that he's local and should be more responsive means we should be getting better value for our money. But ultimately it comes down to essentially a wash. We've created a little more room in the budget this year in case we have more call-out or code enforcement work for Tim. But ultimately, one of the issues that was raised by Daryl was the rate that he is currently collecting to do this work. He's being underpaid, and it was because during previous budgets, there was some question about overpaying him as both the planner and the building official. And they reduced the portion of the budget attached to planning, or I'm sorry, based on building work, because apparently he was getting $55,000 for the building official work. That was reduced to $36,000, but they didn't reduce the planning budget at that time. So it should have been a reduction in both of his salaries, but they only reduced one. And now that all the planning work has been taken away from him, he ended up taking a substantial cut in pay for the work that was left to him. So he was expecting some additional funds to pay him for the technical work that he was providing on the building side of the house.
Angel, I had pretty good results with him when we did our building permit for our new well house. He responded immediately when we had the permit, and he did three site inspections, and it went really well with us.
I'm just going by what, you know, it's hearsay, but if I have some family members saying that it's taking 2-3 days for him to get out there, then that concerns me, because now you got my houses to inspect, we have Olson's homes to be inspected. So I took it upon myself to talk to Olson about Daryl, and he doesn't seem to have any issues with Daryl. I don't happen to have any issues with Daryl. I think he's done good. I mean, I called him Friday. He didn't show up till today, of course. He said in the morning, but he showed up at noon. I'm good with that. But in my book, he's been doing a good job. Now, if you have to be licensed, I can understand that. But he's been doing all these inspections without a license for years.
No, I think he's licensed.
Okay.
It's the certification.
Certification. Well, if he doesn't have the certification, I just have to tell you, share my, you know, what I feel. I think he's done a great job. And he's not out there, you know, there's been some nitpicking stuff that he's done with me that it doesn't make sense, but I have to do it. So he's not out there giving breaks, and that's not why I want him here. I just think he's doing a good job. And like I said, I talked to Olson's as well, and I mean, he's happy with his inspections. Now, I hope, if that's the direction we're going with Tim, that he's going to be on top of it.
Well, the difference is that Daryl can only be here one day a week, and whereas Tim is here 5 days a week, so I think you're going to get better service. And you know, the services that we receive, you know, the public's going to get a better service.
So we only pay him for one day a week?
He only is here one day a week.
Well, I've called him, and he's been in Quincy, and I says, I need to get covered. You know, for whatever reason, I got 2-3, you know, contractors lined up. And he hustles over there and inspects the house, and he goes, whatever, wherever he's at, he's done that for me. So if he's working one day a week, and he met that day, and he ran down from Quincy to do that, well, he's doing extra work. Maybe that's why he's asking for more. But I know he's hammered. I know between what's going on here in town, I know one day is not going to handle it. That's my opinion.
Anybody else have an opinion?
Okay, this also covers plan reviews and other matters.
Building plan review. It does include building plan review.
Okay. And I know that's where we've had some problem with Daryl in the past, and plan review and items like that. Yeah, and we've had some things get by that should have never got by in plan review.
First I hear, I mean, I know.
Well, it looks like you guys have a direction already, talking to Tim and all, but like our mayor just said, you know, we'll see what happens. Give it a try. it doesn't work out, give them a 60-day.
Okay. So, Board of Adams County Commissioners met today, and do you have anything to report?
Lauren Wilsey, who is the county planning director, indicated that they had accepted all of the language. They had offered a $46 an hour rate for the building inspector with the $60 overtime or after hours call out premium, which covers his time and a half because he is in the union. And so that reflects their cost recovery. Hopefully you've had a chance to talk to the chair of the county commission, but that is essentially the document that was forwarded to you so you could review it tonight. If you have any suggested changes or anything, I can still include that with my conversation with Lauren, but it is essentially accepted. The minor changes I had were accepted today by the county commissioners. They'd like to send it to their attorney one more time for review, but it is the document that they use for City of Ritzville, so there shouldn't be any legal problems with it.
So is it an hourly rate of 42 or 46? Because in here you have it as 42 with the 6 crossed out.
Yes. So the 46 includes his hourly rate. It includes his benefits. It includes his expenses, including mileage, the use of his vehicles, his phones, his computer. It also includes some technical premium for his certified plans, examining certifications. And then at the end of that, they kind of tacked on a $4 unknown expenses and anything that they might have that they didn't account for. And that's the difference between the 42, 46. I was assuming that in talking to Lauren, he would be able to explain those to me. And so it's just for the miscellaneous stuff that they didn't know whether they would be able to account for that at this point. So that's the discrepancy between 42 and 46.
So should it say $46 in here? Because it says all costs included.
Yes. And if you take a look at that hourly rate chart, the second line down at $46 per hour is, that gives you a range of $34,000 to $38,000 is what it would cost.
He's looking at the agreement. The agreement's the one that he's talking about.
Yeah, the agreement actually says 42 with the 6 crossed out.
Oh, yes, that's what I proposed. That's what we counted.
So that agreement's going to change to 46?
46.
Okay, so that's his question. So that's
sorry. It. Yes, that's what the county wants. And so the mayor was going to talk to Roger, and it sounds like we've agreed to the 46 because it's within our budget.
So the total budget then would be the second line item, $38,272.
Yes, plus an estimate of call-outs. Currently, we don't call out Daryl to emergencies or, you know, late night inspections beyond normal work hours. There was example where he was called out to a mobile home that had people living in it and had black mold and some questionable structural problems. Heather called him and he did a quick look and found it to be unsafe for occupancy. So I have an example of once this year that I've been here that he was called out after hours. Anyone else?
This is still just going to be a short term. Like I said, I would like to see the city eventually, as the budget allows, hire a full-time building inspector.
I think the intent is just to have somebody here in town that's more accessible be doing it, and then eventually, hopefully, we will do that.
And we let the county know that until we reached a size and you know, activity level that would we would continue on in some kind of an agreement with them, unless the agreement wasn't going to work out. But our long-term goal was to eventually hire our own building
inspector, plan review, and possibly engineer. So, okay? All your questions been answered? All right. This time I'd entertain a motion to authorize the mayor to sign this contract.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? Opinions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carried, noted for the record. Angel Garza voted against the motion. So we'll move now to item 4.2, BIAS Annual Service Agreement, and I believe Spencer has some information for us.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. Before you tonight is the 2016 service agreement between the City of Othello and BIAS Software. BIAS is the software company and the software that we use, that we've used since 2009. This is our complete, all of our finances, our budgeting, our payroll, utilities, payables, building, all of those different services, cash receipting, utilities, I think I already mentioned. All of those services are part of this financial package. And before you tonight is the contract for the new year, for the 2016 year. This is a 4% increase from our agreement from last year. It's about $400 increase, $359 increase from last year. And this is an amount that we have included in our budget for the new year. So it's the recommendation of staff that council approves or allows the mayor to sign this contract for the 2016 year.
Council? This time I entertain a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the BIAS software contract.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to item 4.3, Spencer, budget discussions.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. This is night two of two where we're looking at the red zone items and planning out our budget for the new year. At our last meeting, we hit our utility funds, the water, sewer, solid waste funds. And at this meeting, we're going to have a major concentration with our general and street funds, looking at the available resources that we have and what can we fund with those resources. We're also, once that conversation is done, we'll finish up by looking at the tourism fund and the and then I also included some information about the reserve funds for your information. I don't know that we have a lot of conversation about that unless you have questions. So I'm going to sit down at my computer to lead the rest of this conversation. I have a couple of charts that I think can help the conversation tonight go as smoothly as possible and as easy as possible. So with my microphone here, we'll get going. I have a couple of attachments tonight that I wanted to briefly walk you through. This first one is one that we've seen in our last couple of meetings. It shows the different funding sources, the available dollars in each fund, and a brief description of each one of those. So I'm not going to talk about that one a lot tonight. I revised it to take out some of the information that I don't think we need for tonight's discussion. I have a few other things on here. I gave you a handout. This is an updated 2016 red zone item list. There are two columns here. The red column are the items that we're going to discuss tonight. These are the items for discussion and or for consideration. And then this column over here is the already funded.
And if we look down towards the bottom, you can see the street water solid waste items. All those items are already over here. We do have a few other items that we've already approved, like the extra position in Public Works. That's already in the budget. The skate park. Oops. Never mind. I'm just going to highlight two numbers there. It's not going to work. So I think this should be an easy walkthrough for us. And I wanted to point out just a couple of changes on here from our last meeting. One is the pet rescue. I don't remember if this was on here during our last meeting or not. Pet rescue came and gave you a presentation where they discussed a desire to increase the amount that the city donates to pet rescue for the year from $15,000 to $25,000. And so that's this $10,000 figure here. There were a couple, there's four altogether, I believe. I added the beautification committee down here, that $25,000 for that discussion at our last meeting also. And then there were two other things that I wanted to discuss. The phone system, I decreased that amount from $25,000 that we've seen earlier to $18,100. This is the effect of, we're looking at the new cost of the system and taking out old costs of of our old system. And so this would be the net effect if we wanted to put that new phone system in place. And there's one other item under the street fund that we netted also. The seasonal staff for Public Works, four people for 8 months. This item is listed at $39,200. And there are a couple of changes here. This is the figure if we went to Marjon for their services. We looked at a couple of different places. And I can show you the calculations if you want for the phone system and for the netting for the four people for 8 months here. Our initial number that we came to the city council was $124,000, and that was if we hired the four people ourselves. So we had our own salary and benefits that we paid those individuals. We looked at Express and Marjon, and it turned out that Marjon was the cheaper of those other two options. We took out the existing budget, $45,000 for the Department of Corrections, and we also reduced our overtime budget needed for the current public work guys. If we have these four, then we can reduce those other expenses by a little bit. All of that to say that the net effect, if we were to hire the four people for these, it would be roughly $39,200 for that. And so that's on your sheet.
Yeah.
That's in addition to what we already pay to the Department of Corrections.
That's the
so there is a budget line item for part-time help. The part-time help is the Department of Corrections at this point in time, and that's $45,000.
That's above and beyond.
So totally, it's close to $90,000 total budget.
Yeah,
right.
Just barely under. Yes.
So is the $39,200, is it a wash with what you would adjust those other budgets?
No, I've already taken those out. So
okay.
The Marjon, the total cost would be an estimated $89,683. We can call it $90,000. If we are going to go that direction, though, then we wouldn't have the Department of Corrections expense that we already have in our budget, which is about $45,000. And so that leaves $45,000 that we would need to come up with minus about $5,000 in overtime costs that we'd be saving. So the net of all of those.
Right, but in discussion with Terry today, and Terry was gone last week when we were researching all this, so I didn't have a chance to talk to him until this afternoon about this. There's some cost involved, not cost, some costs that aren't in there that, you know, we need to consider. And that, a couple things. One is, you know, one of Terry's reasons for doing this, besides not having to work with DOC, was so that we could have we could train up some people along the way and perhaps hire them a year or two down the road to replace some people who are probably going to retire in a year or two. This may not happen with this temporary help from Marjorie, from a contractor, per se. The other piece is, it's concerning, and I agree with him, is that he doesn't have direct input on exactly who's going to hire. They're going to show up. And he's going to give a job description. We will give a job description to Marjan, obviously, and tell him what our requirements are. But as far as the actual face-to-face, who's this person, they're just going to show up, and they may or may not work out, just like any other temporary help. Yeah. And so I talked to Marjan about this, and of course, if we don't like them, we'll just send them back, and they'll send them to somebody else. Okay, but if you continue to do that, now you're almost in the same situation as with with a DOC. You know, you're trying to, you know, constantly turnover. So, you know, do we, you know, and then there's, so there's those two key things on that. And there's the, you know, trust factor of being able to sit down and talk to them and get a feel. And those of you who've hired people before, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you look at them face to face and sort of get a feel for if they're trustworthy, if they're the people you really want in the job. And so we give up that. So, yeah, you all have to balance out those.
It's a management issue.
Yeah.
So basically manage it, you know. I've had very good success with Marjan people. They've showed up. They've done a great job. You know, they listen to instruction. They do training for you. We have gone on to hire people that have come from Marjan. It's a management issue. If you just cut them loose, give them loose regard to instruction, they're going to be like anybody else and not perform. But if you give them very clear, concise instruction on what they should do and how to do it, and they're trained, you should have good success.
What kind of work, though?
I've had guys on forklifts. I've had guys on tractors. You know, I've had them in loaders.
You're not talking pulling vines?
No, I'm talking about
that wouldn't make a big difference here.
Doing work.
Running equipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's what they'd be doing here.
They have qualified people that do that. They do that.
Well, I was under the impression that when we were going to hire seasonal staff, it would be through the city, because I believe that's what we did last time.
Well, that's right, but,
yeah.
But last meeting, John had requested that we investigate the Marjan option, so I investigated two options. One was Express, the Express company out of Moses Lake, and of course I wanted to go local, so I did Marjan. Express was about $3 an hour more than what Marjan offered. For the $12 an hour rate. So they were, Express was at $19.26, I think, an hour, or 1956, and Marjan was at $16.20 an hour. And our rate, if we do it to the city, is about $22.48. So it's about a $6 per hour savings doing it through Marjan. But again, you have to look at the cost and look at the opportunity possibly lost of training somebody like that. Now, it could work out, obviously, that some of these people show up and maybe the people we hire, but don't know that. So we're just taking a chance, and it depends on how we're going to do this.
Well, when we were in committee, we were talking about pretty much park and rec work, you know, doing the mowing, doing the leaf cleanup, you know, what needs to be done.
Well, also,
what needs to be done on the parks
right.
Service the parks.
But we also,
and then that would free up our own people from public works not to have to do that.
Correct.
But
we talked about the opportunity to maybe get some of these folks involved in some of the sewer and water and stuff. But
I think you're reaching.
Well, on the same note, perhaps, you know, there'd be, you know, you wouldn't have to have Dan in the hole digging, you know, when he could be doing something more, you know, more valuable to the city, you know. And I think it's tougher to get guys from Marjan to stick around and be to a benefit for the city, you know, in the future. I really do, because you're going to be turning guys all the time. I mean, they're seasonal workers. Some guys come and head back to Mexico. Some guy, I mean, you better have somebody to speak Spanish all the time. You don't know who's going to be there, so you might as well, we do have a guy or two that speaks Spanish, but you better make sure that he's going to be there to direct, like you said, to manage them.
You can request to speak English.
We're requested English speaking. That's one of the requirements.
You know, I think I would personally, if it was me hiring, I would want to hire people for the city that are that are, that you're choosing that are going to come back, you know, each season, that, you know, the possibility that you're not going to have to rehire somebody every season or every couple months or...
What was the total dollar difference? What was the total dollar difference in between the city and the $39,000?
Of us hiring our own?
Yes.
It would be about $75,000 if we hired our own on top of the existing money that we have. So the difference between...
39 and 75.
Right. 35 and 75, yeah.
But with the new regulations from the state, I thought that was going to work out to be a wash, hiring those four guys.
We already increased our budget for the DOC. We've been budgeting about $20,000 a year. This year, because of those other restrictions, we increased it to 45. So that's already in that.
Didn't we also have to have a full-time supervisor with them? And that's another 75 a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that would actually about wash that out.
No, the total budget this year for the DOC was $45,000.
Right, but one of the new stipulations of the state is we have to provide them with a full-time supervisor. Right, right, Terry?
And then we're
looking at his full year's wages and
basically we would have had to pull one of our guys off of the crew to just watch them because their guard is no longer a guard, he's just a chauffeur.
So this extra guy we're hiring for $71,000, you'd have to add that onto that.
Well, really the difference is 40 grand between us hiring them and Marjan bringing them in. That's what it is.
The other cost for the oversight by the other public work employee, that's money that we already have in the budget for the folks. It would be a matter of what time do they have to do that.
Did you happen to check with WICA on their stance of temporary employees coming in and operating city equipment?
Yeah. Our insurance authority, we checked and made sure our coverage and the Marjan coverage would cover any additional liability there. And our existing liability coverage would cover that additional liability also. Already, no extra cost.
We keep talking about, you know, staffing our city, our public works better. You know, that's the direction we've been going. And I see it myself, and you know, staffing it better and getting quality workers is, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, that's why we're here, not giving them benefits, not giving them insurance. But a lot of times, you know, you bring those guys in and give them benefits, it's an incentive for them to come back. So I'd like to hear what Terry has to say about this.
This afternoon, it was really, really short. I agree with Tina and I agree with Councilman Angel. I see, with my experience with contract laborers in the past, for 8 or 9 years that I worked with them, I had a hard time keeping them. They come and go. Did I get quality work? Some of them, but not all of them. I didn't have total control over it because they were contracted. So I didn't have what I felt, given somebody direct specific instructions to go do, I ended up spending more time training that individual on some of the smaller stuff than I did him just picking it up and walking on. Looking somebody in the eye and talking to them, getting to know them, getting to trust them. I've got another group of guys down there that we can leave things on the table, we can talk about things, notes on the table, and they're still there. There's a security issue down there too that we want to continue with. Not saying that these people wouldn't, but looking at them, working with them, my whole deal with the city is trying to put something together for the future and being able to swing these people over into the parks or as full-time people is what I'm looking for, that when we get to that point, we can actually set them in there.
And keeping the turnover down to a minimum.
Correct. I just don't want to turn them back because they don't work out, turn them back and just keep turning them back. I'd like to keep them, work them, but I think Councilman Gina's kind of right.
Terry, how many man hours are spent a week mowing the parks, taking care of the parks?
I don't know. I got to do a quick calculation, but I've got at least 2 days worth of mowing, and that's just two mowers running constantly. And then I've got eight DOC that are actually
32 hours there.
Yeah, and then I've got eight DOC that are actually out in the park trimming around the trees and around the light poles, pulling weeds, dumping trash, stocking paper, things of that nature. And they're here 4 days a week, but we also got City Hall that we take care of as well. Okay. In the most side.
For this year, would two temporary employees, if they were hired by the city, help you out quite a bit?
Yeah, anything's a help. Anything at all is a help.
If you go to three, that'd be 50,000. Yeah, I think kind of you also need to take into account not just this one particular item. The implication is we only have, Spencer's only been able to produce a certain element of money, and so there's also other things as well. And I think Terry's already told us his priority is he wants the extra help.
I take the extra help.
And then secondarily, he wants a mower. Right?
For the extra help.
For the yeah, right.
So that kind of leads us into the next phase of the evening, where we're talking about what we can and can't fund for the year. I put a simplified version of the funding sources and descriptions, the spreadsheet that I just showed up that shows the different funds, available dollars. This sheet that I just put up on the overhead shows the general fund, the street reserve, the utility tax dollars, and the REIT, and the available dollars in each one of those funds. I also, off to the side, I have the park and rec reserve that has been, that's the money that we used for the skate park, which is no longer, those dollars are no longer in here. So we have 250 left over for the community center, farmer's market, the next brick and rick type thing we're going to be doing there. And then we have the park mitigation, the property reserve fund, $270,000. That money is off to the side because it is available to you for those purposes. In the general fund, the general fund has a minimum fund balance of $500,000. We have $2,500 over that minimum fund balance available. We have the street fund. We have $7,000 over the minimum available. With our street reserve, we needed an extra $120,000 for the First Avenue project, and we took that out of the street reserve. So that moved the street reserve fund to $84,000 under that 200 minimum fund balance, so that's about $115,000 left in that street reserve fund, which is, so it's just under the minimum fund balance. We have our utility tax fund, $80,000, and then we have our real estate excise tax fund, almost $98,000. At our last meeting, I briefly talked about our REIT, the availability of the REIT dollars. The REIT are, REIT dollars are to be used for capital projects, streets, roads, buildings, park buildings, rehab, new buildings, those kinds of things. However, in our budget this year, we budgeted $150,000 of utility tax to help fund the street fund. If we use REIT dollars instead of those utility tax dollars, these REIT dollars essentially would increase the utility tax dollars available. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So both of those pots of money we can use for the capital items on our list tonight in the red zone items. If we want to use the $97,000, really we wouldn't be using REIT for those. It just means we'd use REIT to help the street fund this year instead of the utility tax helping the street fund this year.
which essentially turns those dollars into utility tax. But so I have these columns here that we can use to calculate some different options. We have a few other funding options also. If we want to go into our minimum fund balance for a general fund, for example, if we wanted to use some of that, that minimum fund balance is established by the council. So if you wanted to run that down to 400,000 or 450, that would make those other dollars available for you. There's also the option of an interfund loan from the sewer fund, for example. We could get we would establish a contract between the city and the sewer fund as a separate as an enterprise fund of the city, and we would have a repayment schedule. The BARS manual published from the state auditor's office suggests 3 years as the repayment for that. So if we were to borrow $300,000, we'd have to pay that back over about 3 years. We might be able to justify 5 years, but it would be a relatively short time on that. So with that, I have a chart here where we can add some different projects and take away. So with our utility tax fund, if we had, let's see, from our red zone item, we have the police vehicle, 45,500. In real time, we can see at the bottom of the screen, we can see what that does to the available utility tax dollars. And we can add and take away from those as you want. Then this bottom line down here shows the ending balance. So in our general fund, if we wanted to use $45,000 in our general fund, we would be under our minimum fund balance by $42,000. So our minimum, our new ending fund balance would be about $45,000, $46,000 in that fund. With that, the night is yours. We can talk about the red zone items on the sheet and see how they shake out with the available dollars up on the screen. We don't have to start with the general fund or the street fund. We can start with your priorities and go from there. Another option also that I forgot to mention is just because something isn't funded tonight doesn't mean that we have no option to fund it for next year. We can always revisit the budget early April, May of next year and see what abilities we have at that point. That's what we did for the extra bathroom in Lyons Park this year that we were able to fund.
Yeah, and there's some things, you know, I was just thinking about this, like the $310,000 that we budgeted for the skate park, and we got, that was our figure that we were given this last summer. And we intend to go to bid when hopefully the time is right, where we might get a lower bid, and that might be an area that would help supplement some of these other things that we can't today maybe fund. And so those are just an example. We're going to be going to bid on the 14th Avenue project. We're going to be going to bid on the skate park, and so there's opportunities to fund additional things like we did this year, where we were able to build that or put that new bathroom in at Lyons Park. It's just important to keep that in mind. This isn't necessarily the final, but a budget is a working document, and this last couple of years have changed it quite a bit as our opportunities in our situations have arisen, and we've needed to make some changes. So I think maybe Spencer, let's start at the bottom and work our way up.
Okay, so we have the beautification committee. That item was $25,000. Let me bring our red zone.
As the unofficial lobbyer for them, I will state that they are going to host another, as Lynette was here at the last meeting, she explained that they want to retain control of the project for another year, that their ability to get the boring done for both blocks at the same time is going to substantially reduce the cost for next year. So I'm going to recommend that we fund that $25,000 for the beautification project.
Out of
the recommendation, of course.
Out of the REIT?
Out of the REIT.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if we're going to take any money out of the REIT, I would say that the lighting would be a good place to take that, because that's the fund that we have talked about the last couple of years. You know, that we really spent it down. It used to have quite a bit in it, and we were trying to let it recover. And I would like to not see a lot more come out of that, but the street lighting makes sense to come out of that one.
Okay.
Because that's one of the things that's very clearly listed on it, because it's limited, very limited to what kind of projects can come out of that.
So I just put that $25,000 in the REIT column, which decreases that amount down to $72,000.
And the rest of the council, are you guys in support of that?
I'm kind of yes and no on that. I'd love to see that happen, but there's other things like a future fire truck. We've got a truck coming up in
2022.
That's going to be $500,000. And
in today's talk,
we got $190,000 right now. So if we put $50,000 a year for the next 6 years, that's $300,000. That's $490,000. That would just barely buy the truck.
At today's price. Okay.
Well, yeah. I think one of the first things we gotta look at funding is the grant writer, because I think if we can get a grant writer, you know, for, even if we do hire him, I think it's on here for $15,000. If we can get somebody hired to do grant, start writing grants, maybe we could get some money for fire trucks and for some of the other things that we need that could help save us some of that. And we need to get them working and bringing in the monies and paying for themselves. I think it's a very important thing, because we're at the point where we've got to be bringing additional monies in, and a grant writer is for not only for finding the grants, and administrating the grants. We need somebody doing that, because we just don't have the staff that can do it.
What budget would you recommend us taking that from?
If we were to do that, I would recommend the utility tax fund, because that's essentially general fund dollars.
Yeah.
So then the grant writer would be an investment in our future?
Yes. And I think that they could possibly get us monies for a lot of these other things that we're strapped for. Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of figures that we threw out for that. If we were able to join with other agencies, which is one of the things that we're looking at, our portion, our third, could be about $15,000, or if we had someone entirely.
I know that the $15,000, it doesn't look like a lot when you're talking about hiring your grant writer, but I think we've discussed that if we can hire somebody, you know, kind of to begin with per project or per grant that they write, then as they start really bringing money into the city, then maybe we'll be able to afford to hire them on full time.
Agreed. Okay.
So there's $15,000 up there.
So another thing with this fire truck is also our fire rating.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
It's a big hit for every citizen, but especially the businesses. If we go from a, was it 5 to a 6?
It's significant.
It's a big hit. There used to be a time when that $50,000 was just part of, it was never in the red zone. It was always part of the budget. We knew we had to put it away for the future purchases of fire equipment. And the last 2 years, we haven't put anything into that budget towards that truck. Like you were saying, we are due for a truck in 2022. I talked to Gary, that truck is just going to be cost us roughly under $500,000. But there's more expenses that come along with that too. If we don't start putting money back into that or start to supply that fund, I believe, Gary, I'm going to put you on the spot here a couple times. We have air packs coming up for renewal too.
We found out last year that our air packs will be obsolete in just over 7 years. We're developing a plan, looking for grants to replace both county and city air packs.
And how many of them roughly, and how much a pack?
26 packs for the city right now. They're roughly going to be 8,000 packs.
So we need to start planning and figuring for that cost. It would be nice to get a grant, but there's always the possibilities that you won't get those grants. And if we're still waiting for that grant when those packs come obsolete, we're going to be scrambling to find all that money at once down the road. So we really need to consider getting that money back off the red list and including it in the cost of our contract of firefighting services every year.
What about this year? Next year, excuse me.
So if we were to put that $50,000 over on the REIT side, we would have about $22,000, $23,000 in REIT left. Is that too low? Can you see that? That's really low.
And
let me hide a couple of these.
Spencer mentioned that our we have a $500,000 minimum balance. I had him do some checking. That was set by council in 2005. $250,000 for emergency and $250,000 for general. And I tried to go back. There wasn't too many. The minutes did not reflect why the council decided to make that decision at the time. And of course, the tapes were already sent to archives, so we did not have anything to go back and listen on it at that time.
It could have been after some of those years where we had some well issues and emergency
yes.
situations.
The main reason was that it was the minimum fund balance used to be $1 million. And so in order to free up money to spend inside the budget, that's why it was lowered to $500,000.
Yes, and I have no problem using some of that this year because it's the public's money. Well, they expect us to use it in a wise manner. And I think we have some costs and expenses that we're going to need
what
to use it this
that?
Year. Our general fund minimum balance of $500,000.
Always used to be $200,000.
Yeah, the council sets that. The council can set that by resolution.
I wouldn't have any problem with that, but I would like to see once we have kind of, you know, when things kind of turn around that we were able to put that back up. It is nice to have it there as an emergency type situation, but at this point in time when things are so tight, I think $250,000 makes a lot more sense.
That's a big decision, Council. What anybody else want to weigh in on that?
I don't know if I want to go as low as 250. Because we have another well issue like we did this past summer that could hurt.
Well, what do we have in reserve?
Yeah, the water fund takes
water
care
fund
of wells.
Water fund has got a reserve as well.
Different reason. Which we're setting at a $1.4
million yeah, that
reserve on the well. Yeah.
Mark, you had a thought?
What other emergencies would there be that would have to come out of the general fund?
Well,
what types of...
One thing that comes to mind, and Terry, correct me if I'm wrong, but if we had, like, the HVAC system we talked about.
MSCD grant for $100,000.
Yes.
Starting price there, that thing goes up.
So that's something to think about for emergency. Of course, we could always get fans and space heaters, but but that would be what that comes to mind.
It could also take effect on the revenue side of things. This year, our utility tax dollars came in lower than anticipated, which meant that the general fund didn't have all the money that we thought it would for the year, which is one of the reasons why we're tight right now.
Right.
See, so it could be on both.
See, the reason the utility tax only has $80,969 to meet the obligations of the red zone items is because we had to transfer $238,000. Because that's how much we...
you basically, you know, we could for 1 year do $250,000 and basically use those dollars that would have been in the utility tax fund. And then move it back for the next year.
If you have it.
If it comes back up.
Corey, do you have anything you want to mention?
I don't have an issue with that at $250,000. Before we make that decision, maybe we should talk about it a little more and see what we actually want to spend.
That might be a good idea. John?
We can't give everybody their wish.
Yeah.
And that's just not going to happen. What we need to figure out, as a council, is prioritize what we really want to accomplish this year.
Yeah.
And then we go look for the funds. Right now, there's $371,000 worth of expenditures that are on the board. Let's narrow that down to a figure we can work with. I mean, some of them we're just not going to do this year. So let's get them off of the thought list and concentrate on the ones that we're going to
take them off until mid-year and maybe.
So which ones do we take off right off the top then?
Okay, so let's back up. Right now, are we in agreement that we're going to have $25,000 for the beautification and $50,000 to go towards the continued funding of a fire truck? Is that okay?
No. No. It's not. Because the beautification project's not top on my priority list. It's not.
Okay.
A lot of that should be coming from, you know, donations and private funding. They're the ones, you know, the businesses on the street are the ones that are going to benefit from that.
But the actual lighting is coming from donations and businesses on the street. The $25,000 is just basically...
I'm just telling you, Gina, it's not one of my top priorities.
Well, I'm just saying that the $25,000 is only for actual construction of putting the lights up. The beautification committee has raised all of the money for all of the lighting, the street poles, the lighting, and everything.
Very good, very good.
That's
it's just not top.
That's only for
it's $25,000 of budget money, and it's not top on my priority.
Okay.
Top on my priority is a new vehicle for the police department.
You know, and to me, my priorities are public safety. They're going to be things that the public expects from us when they call up and when they need help. Police, fire, emergency services. I would love to fund the lighting, but I think at this point on our budget, it's going to be on the lower end. If we have some left after, to me, after we take care of our essential needs of the city.
Okay, so we need to keep moving along on this discussion. So, with some decisions. So, why don't you, let's take that off, and we will agree on the fire truck?
Yes.
Yes.
On the payment towards the next fire truck. Okay, so that one's we have consensus.
So we have the $50,000 towards the fire truck and that we'll put in the reserve, and $15,000 for a portion of the
grant writer. We have a consensus for the grant writer.
Yes.
Good. Okay. And so
another item that I heard talked about was the extra police vehicle, $45,500.
Well, I think public works needs to be funded.
Okay.
That's essential services to the city also. it's not emergency services, but it is essential services to the city, and they need to have...
Which one of the two?
I think we've got one extra position funded already for Public Works, and I think the seasonal staff, and maybe we can knock it down to three people and make it, you know...
Hired by Terry.
Hired by Terry.
So do the eight that he has been given in the past, do not add the ninth?
I would like to add the ninth. I think that, you know, they've basically struggled along down there, limped along for 30 years with the exact same number of people. So, you know, they're servicing the same, with the same number of people that they started with 30 years ago, and you think about how small a fellow was 30 years ago and the difference in the size of them.
I agree.
They're running around.
Yeah, we need them.
I agree, but I don't think this might be the year for that.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I want to fund that, but I don't know if we can do that this time, but I think the seasonal workers have to be...
Get them back up to his full crew of eight.
Well, and then he's got a plus one.
I think you were running about 6.5 all last year.
Five.
And we'll get you back up to your crew, a full of eight for next year.
And then...
With the clothes already funded.
So that's already included in there, the 71, but the new for the second one, I don't think this is, to me, I don't think this is the year to do it.
We may have to put that one off till next year, but I think that if we give him the seasonal staff, and then we've already got the funding for the one extra...
Because where we have to get rid of Coyote Ridge because of all the extra expenses that is going to be added, we need to look at that seasonal help.
So that seasonal help figure is 50,000. If we let him hire three people, if we go with Marjon, it's the 39.2.
For three, sorry.
Three, not four.
I would prefer Terry to hire them and have somebody that's, you know, that they're going to be able to work them into working in water and sewer and possibly moving into the crew later, because it could be, you know, we're gonna have a lot of retirements coming up here in the next few.
Okay. So, just so we're clear, no to the second Public Works position.
Correct.
And yes to three seasonal workers for 8 months, which will be advertised and hired by and become city employees. Is that correct? I don't think we've settled that. So who's all in favor of that? Raise your hand.
I'm in favor of it, but I'd like to see some more solid numbers on that.
That's what I'll raise my hand first to go, but how much are we looking at?
But that's Spencer, and I think he said it was 75,000.
For four, so three would be 56,250.
So that's your solid number right there.
And that's for Marjon.
No.
That's for him going out and getting his own if we hired our own.
Because 39.2 is what it would be for Marjon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so 56.
Because it's actually the 56 here plus the 45 that we already have.
It's already budgeted.
Yes.
Okay. So then... Very top priority to me.
No. Not this year. Yeah. We'd rather get you the guys than the machine. You'll have to wait.
Find some guys that can fix the machine and run it.
Oh, he's...
I could get a lot of stickles.
I don't think it's broken. I think it's just antiquated, and eventually we're going to need to replace it, too. But I'd rather get him the manpower right now.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're at 121 for those three items. Yes.
Yep.
So that leaves us in utility tax about 9,700, REIT 47.7, and again those REIT, we can with this REIT money we can free up other utility tax dollars in the amount of the REIT money.
I have a question. What is the park mitigation fund?
Park mitigation fund, that's the money that we've set aside for park property purchase.
Yeah, we need that. Eventually, we're going to have to find something.
So if we went with one patrol vehicle this year, could we cut that cost from 45.5 to No.
That is one.
That is just the one.
You already cut it down to one.
Yeah, so I think you need to add that in under REIT.
That'll ultimately be a utility tax item for the discussion tonight.
Yeah, but we don't have enough in any other fund yet. So,
That's what lowered the general.
So that's where now the decisions start getting hard.
I think one thing that to me seems pretty important is the phone system and the network router.
I would agree.
See, and that also should be a wash with what we're going to save, just about a wash with what we're going to save with the cost on our phone bill now.
By the end of next year, it will be. There's 2016, the cost will be $18,000 by the end of 17. So it'll take 2 years for that to happen. And then it'll be a savings of about $7,000 savings every year after that.
Monthly expenses, the difference of those other funds are part of our savings, but
right, and here we're just talking about the general fund, the effect on the general fund here. There would be a small portion that the water, sewer, solid waste would have. But
if you're going to do that, I would say do the network router too, because it's not very much, and just add it on to that. And then, you know, I think that we can do without the building repair and maintenance at $8,000. I think there's $12,000 in the budget already, correct?
Yes. Sorry, for which one?
For building
for the $8,000 for building repair and maintenance. We just have to tighten our
belt. We have 12 in there
this
already.
This year and hold it, correct. And maybe we can do it next year.
The request was to move that 12 up to 20. That's that other.
Because I thought the network router was kind of part and parcel with the phone system and being able to speed things up.
Yes, it was necessary if we got the new
phone system that you need the router.
Yeah.
So I would say to axe the $8,000 and hold that for next year, because there is $12,000 in the budget for building repair and maintenance. That's an additional $8,000.
Correct. So if we were to add the 21,100, would you want to put that under the general fund? That would affect that minimum fund balance by approximately $18,000.
Yeah, you're going to have to start showing negatives, and then whatever you guys want to approve, then you're going to see how much if you want to take these other measures. Yeah, if you want to take some other measures, you're going to see what the figure is. So if this is, yes, thank you. All right.
And then the other one that I think is really important is our sergeant promotion. That gives him 3 sergeants and an equal load among the 3, because it sounds like one is kind of overloaded. And they don't
have...
That
would give you 4, much.
Yeah.
4.
Yeah. Because he's got like... Yeah, there was like one guy that had more officers under him, and they actually don't have a sergeant during one of the shifts because he can't be there 24 hours a day, and I think that was an important one.
And we can actually reduce that to 11,250 if I started after the quarter of the year.
It'll take that long of a process to
it'll take
to get another sergeant.
So we might as well have 3 months.
Yeah.
Council, do you guys do want to fund that? Yep.
Yeah, I think that's necessary.
So that would be $11,250 the first year, and then it would be approximately $15,000 repeating every year after that.
We'll just rewrite the budget. There. It would be a budget item then.
Yeah.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
It's not a red zone item.
Right, exactly. That would be an ongoing operating.
So,
what about the overtime?
He doesn't have any.
Yeah, he does.
Well, that $18,000 is what he spent above this year's
above budget.
Is that correct?
We will have spent more than $18,000 above this year. And realistically, as long as we're fully staffed, it shouldn't be a problem. But one officer on the right shift could cause a break for us. So this would give us a fairly good budget.
The only thing is you had one officer who was on for most of this past year. And so that caused a lot of the extra overtime.
We actually started the year late with several officers. So that gave us, I mean, there was a period there where we were paying quite a bit of overtime to cover those shifts. And then we did have the officer that was out on administrative leave for a significant portion. And we're paying quite a bit of overtime to cover that. So this $18,000 puts us pretty safe. We can likely do it with less.
Got a figure in mind?
10?
10? Okay. And if we have to amend his budget because of overtime, he can't really control that. Council?
Is that something that we can wait to mid-year to see where we're at?
That possibly. I mean, because you shouldn't be seeing our...
That would kick in most likely after the end of the third and fourth quarter, the overtime.
Possibly.
We would definitely know mid-year if we're getting into trouble.
Okay.
And I do provide monthly to council on the department head reports what our overtime numbers look like.
And you said that there was the top four, was that the police vehicle, the promotion, the overtime, and the central services, or?
I can't in good conscience ask for the central services this year.
Okay. Thank you. But the police explorers and the reserves, were they?
Police explorers, with the donation that we received 2 weeks ago, is almost fully funded now.
Okay.
I think we can take care of the rest with donations. And the reserves, we'll be going out looking for donations for the reserve program also.
So then your top three would be the vehicle promotion and overtime?
Yes, ma'am.
Council, what do you want to do with police overtime?
Basically, we're just covering costs. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. And if we're not going to incur those costs until the third or fourth quarter, I think we could possibly
revisit and amend it. If it's needed to be.
So say no for now and revisit with the promise to revisit. Okay.
Yes. And at that point, we should be able to tell a little closer.
Have a better picture of that. What's possible.
Okay, so then what about the other four items in his budget? Training, travel, police explorers, reserves, and training miscellaneous.
Well, he said the police explorers and the reserves were covered.
Police explorers is $328 short of being fully funded. Mm-hmm. Through the way that's happening is with the $100 a month that we're getting from the vehicle impounds, that's been very, very profitable this year. Next year, I expect that'll go down a little, and we took that into account as we budgeted our revenue side. So I think Explorers is looking pretty good. Mm-hmm. The reserve program, we haven't even hired reserves yet. So if that comes to a point where we're ready to hire reserves, then if we can't find that with donations, I would come to council and put that as an option in front of you. But at this point, until I have reserves, or at least we're close on this, and we are looking, but we're not there yet. The bottom one, the training miscellaneous, again, I scratched that one completely. So for consideration, the training travel, that would be, you know, if you look at our overall training budget, the request that I put in front of council went down about this much because I didn't budget to send anybody to the academy. As long as I don't send anybody to the academy, we'll be okay.
But in the future, when we do our budgets for 2016, we want to have a training budget.
This
if you
starts
were to beef
to build
it
up
in relation to what it was last year, that's something we need to consider.
Our training budget is very low, but I'm also being very cognizant of where our budget as a city is.
There's a lot of things happening in the
in the world today, in the United States in particular, with law enforcement.
And training helps us.
We need to stay on top of it, so we don't, it just protects us as a city.
Is this training for that type of training, or is it for academy type training?
This, when we look at the bottom line of the budget, that's, you know, I kind of move things around as I need to. This $7,500 would be programmed for travel, which is meals, lodging, and those types of expenses. But if they had a $500 registration for the course, I could use the same money in a different line for that. So this is basically adjusting the entire training 521.40 line item.
And to be clear, Chief, that covers if we lose an officer and have to put transfers to cover the academy budget?
With this, if we did put the $7,500 back in, or put this $7,500 in, then I would have the money to send somebody to the academy. Without, I would not. But I want, if I have to hire, I want to hire laterals.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Right now, you're fully staffed, though.
Yes, sir. Right now, we are fully staffed.
Now we,
I do have one officer looking at a job that he may accept. That would get him closer to family. And if he left, he'd be leaving on very, very good terms. But at this point, if we go to replace that officer, I'd advertise for laterals first.
And the sergeant that would be promoted would not leave patrol. He would still be an officer.
Yes, it would not increase our total FTEs. If council does approve that promotion, it does not increase the line staff. It just changes somebody's title.
What do you want to do about the training budget?
I'd like to leave it in.
Yeah. We want to leave it in? You guys want to leave it in?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes to the training.
Right, that's 75.
Yep.
And
then what about the 328 for the police explorers?
Well, you have that covered.
He's already got those covered. Those are already covered.
Okay, so we'll say no to that.
Same manager.
So that brings you down then to
fire department generator.
The fire department generator.
Pet rescue.
Pet rescue and the beautification committee, street lighting project.
You're not letting go of that, are you?
Pretty good of a guy.
I think that fire department generator is something that we need to seriously discuss.
We've been putting it in there every year. And
we've been very...
Is it still a good number, Gary?
This was a number given to us earlier this summer.
Okay.
So it could be just depending on the market.
You just went through putting a new generator in the county station, and it was pretty close to the...
No, ours was much more extensive.
Much more extensive, okay. And currently, right now, we have nothing in that building. That's one of our emergency services buildings, and we currently have nothing. If we were to lose power in the middle of the winter in that building, we have no means to heat or keep those trucks warm.
Is that fire department set up for a public shelter in case of emergency?
That is not a essential services building. It wasn't built that way, but the public, I think, would have an expectation that a warm, dry place to come in the event of a harsh storm.
Okay.
We can do that within the county station, but we can't do that in the city station at the time, and we can't maintain heat.
I think that should be good enough reason right there to find a generator for that station.
Yeah. I guess the thing is, too, starting next year, I'd like to add like $3,000 a year. You know, if we're gonna fund a fire truck every. You know, so often we also going to have to replace that generator and the whole setup.
Yeah, so you got equipment and everything else that.
Well, yeah, there. Yeah. If you can't heat that and it's below zero, you're going to bust every pipe in that water truck that there is that has water and drain everything.
along with that, along with the sprinkler system and that.
Exactly. I think it's important.
You got gas heater electric?
Yes.
You do. So that wouldn't be interrupted.
You have electric fans to force the air around.
Makes sense. It makes sense to fund it, then we won't be funding it next year.
That's a one-time shot.
Well, to get it up to about every 10
years.
Yeah.
I don't know, Sean. I've had a generator for 20 now.
Okay.
And we run it all the time.
I think when you put it there on the general, we're still well above what Gina was talking about going to the 250.
Now,
so.
And I was going to say, can we even put the 45.5 on the REIT for the? Does that need to be moved over to the general? Because the REIT's very specific about what can be taken out of that.
That's a Spencer question.
Yeah, but our utility tax fund right now is funding some projects in street that we can use the REIT to fund instead of the utility tax.
You're saying he can move.
So we can fund street projects with REIT instead of utility tax, which would free up those utility tax dollars. So for tonight's discussion, we can put that expense under REIT. It's not going to be funded by REIT, though.
It's not going to be funded by REIT?
It'll be funded by the utility tax dollars that the REIT dollars free up.
Okay.
So did you put the $32,000 over?
You want to do that, Council, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So I put that under general fund, and the reason was because our utility tax, we have six, almost 8,000, and we have 22. So that's 8,900 together.
Under our utility tax fund, though, we have a minimum of a $25,000 ordinance right now that we have to.
And that would be up to you as the council to amend that.
Okay, so we've done that. That's a yes. And so now we're down to pet rescue and the beautification committee street lighting project. So far right now, Spencer, if we lowered our amount of our $500,000 reserve, we would need to come up with, we have 66,000 so far.
$66,000 in there. If we funded all these items, that would bring our ending balance to 433. So it would be about 60. Well, it'd be 66 under that 500 minimum.
Okay. So the one that keeps nagging me is this minus 84,907 in the street reserve. Are we required to bring that back up to?
A few council meetings ago, when we were talking about the extra $120,000 that we needed for the First Avenue project, at that time the decision was made to use the street reserves to fund that additional expense there. This is something that we'll want to bring up. We won't, if we don't do it this year, which we won't be doing it this year, then we'd want to be able to do that the year after.
And we'll take that from the utility tax funds, likely.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Council, you're down to the last two items. You want to fund the pet rescue an additional 10? You want to fund them an additional 5? Or do you want to keep it at the 15?
I was thinking an additional 5 myself.
Yeah. And if you did an additional 5... and you did the beautification, that put us right at 400,000.
Yeah. Move those over and let's see what those figures are.
Make sure I didn't erase something else. And the beautification at 25,000.
The one thing that makes me lean on the beautification and the lights is at nighttime, our crosswalks and sidewalks in this town are atrocious.
They really are. So that's why...
You mean the lighting?
Yeah, the lighting. That is why I don't have a problem doing this.
It really doesn't make a difference in the cost.
Is because I'm making our sidewalks and our crosswalks a lot better for the citizens.
Especially in that particular section where they want to put them this year.
Those two, yeah, the two spots where they're going to be putting them are really dark.
I know there's been several people hitting that intersection at nighttime.
When are they supposed to be putting in LED lights?
They said over the next 5 years. So it's hard to say.
So it's not going to be an instant?
Not going to be an instant.
No, it's not, unfortunately.
No, they've got us on the list.
Do we have any that are burned out, or is anybody noticing them? Because those things should be reported.
I haven't noticed any, but...
Okay, so... Council, to take this action, to do all of these things tonight that you've discussed and we've agreed upon, would be getting a new network router for City Hall and a phone system, which is, Stan, remind us again how old that phone is.
At least 9 years old.
Yeah. And we have difficulties with it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a very complex phone system, and there's only a few people even in City Hall who actually know how to actually use all the functions on it. Yeah. With this, we're making a major commitment to the fire department, $32,000 for a generator and $50,000 towards the future purchase of a fire truck. We're making a major decision for the city's future and bringing in additional resources through a grant writer. We're continuing to fund the police department with a new vehicle, a sergeant promotion, now giving the city how many sergeants? Four sergeants. And we left the training that was in the red zone item. That probably should just be a regular budget item every year. We did say no to the mower. We did say yes to the skateboard park. We did fund an additional position within public works in order to give Terry a full crew that he used to have, and three seasonal workers for 8 months, and $25,000 to continue the street lighting project down Main Street for the beautification committee. I think that's a good work.
So that we've used less than $100,000 of that $500,000. That's a good figure.
I think we should probably only move that to, you know, $400,000 and call it good.
Have a resolution for $400,000.
Like that.
Yeah. In that fund?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think we need to do the full 250.
Be easy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Spencer, you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, thank you very much. With tonight's meeting, this concludes our budget preparation for the 2016 year, really. This is a process that started in August with just at the department with Wade and the department head level, where we were looking at where we're going to end up for the 2015 year and what do we think we need for the 2016 year, and the mayor also. From there, we had a series of council budget committee meetings where we dissected the budget, went through it line by line, and we brought all of those conversations together at our council retreat, where the department heads presented everything. That was really the first time that all the council had a full view of everything from each one of the department heads. And our last meeting and this meeting, we cut our budget in half to discuss piece at a time.
From here at our next meeting, we'll be ready to pass our budget for the 2016 year. I'll prepare the ordinance. There will be a series of ordinances, one for the budget, one to amend our 2015 budget with some of the conversations that we've been having up till now. We'll have an ordinance to amend the use of the utility tax dollars. We'll have an ordinance to amend the ending fund balances for the general fund and for the street reserve, fund for the 1 year. So there's a series of ordinances that all of our discussions are going to be wrapped up into. And just to cap off a couple of things that we've been doing this year that we haven't in years past. In years past, we've been able to be red zone heavy. This year, we've done some things that we haven't done in years past, where we've beefed up the police department. This is the first time in a number of years where we have a full police department that's operating, with a full staff. We increased the staffing in our public works department by an additional FTE, a full-time public work employee, and then we've also added those three seasonal people. We have our building department. We've brought Travis on the team for moving forward. We have our building inspector that we're going that route now. So we're slowly starting to merge into having our own staff take care of some of these essential functions, which has been a discussion that the council's wanted to see realized for a number of years. This year, we're not fully realizing those things, but we're certainly making a step in that direction. And with that, I have no other comments.
I have several comments, one of which is to thank you, Spencer, for the tremendous effort. Well, the City of Othello is an award-winning financial city at the state level. Large part in the good work that Spencer has done to help us manage our budget, manage our expenses, keep track, and do things according to what the state auditor wants. And we have received, as you saw here last month, Spencer and the city received an award, and he continues to do an excellent job for the city. I also want to thank the rest of our staff, and especially department heads, who put together these budgets and sat in on many of these committee meetings with you. We worked out all the details. As you can see, some of this was not easy. And I want to thank the City Council, because I think you guys did a very good job going through these, thinking through the decisions that need to be made. I think you made some very wise decisions. I've had a number of conversations with both Mark and Ken about the fire department and what we needed to do there that has really been put off for a number of years, and it's time that we finally take care of some of those things. The public works department really needed to, after the difficult year that this was, not only with our water shortages and them scrambling, continuing to try and keep up the essential services, we needed to finally staff them at a level that they can run a very efficient operation. It's better for the community with the weekend coverage for tournaments, for keeping shelters clean, so that if you do rent a shelter, the people will be assured of having a clean shelter. We had a number of complaints about that last year, and so I think that the city has done a very good job, and the council has done a good job, and I just appreciate everyone's effort. So with that, I'm going to move to our public hearing on the 2015 budget. And I would like to open this public hearing at 8:39 p.m. And Spencer, did you want to say a few words?
Sorry, that's what I thought I was doing before.
Okay.
Those were my words.
Okay. For the purposes of this public hearing, however, the City Council has gone through And why don't you just highlight our process here, and then we'll turn it over to the public and their comments.
Yeah, it's been very much a collaborative effort between the mayor, the city administrator, the department heads, the city council. It's great to see people working together in a concerted effort to better this community. And I think that's what we've seen here on this council. You hear horror stories from cities sometimes where there are fights and people can't agree on things, but I think what we've done here tonight is come to a consensus and build a budget that'll be good for the community and good for moving forward.
Excellent, thank you. At this time, I would like to open the public testimony regarding the 2016 budget. If there's anyone here, it's in three parts: those in support, those who want to speak who are neutral, or those who are in opposition. We'll start with those in support. Is there anyone here as a member of the public who would like to speak in support of the 2016 budget? Hearing none, I will move to those who are neutral to the proposal. Yes, Spencer.
I'm so sorry, we forgot one part of this discussion.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
This is with the tourism fund. This is the fund where we collect our hotel motel taxes that the hotels pay, and these are the dollars that are awarded to different organizations within the city that promote tourism within the city. And this allocation here isn't one that's developed by the city. This is the result of a meeting with the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee. They come in and they give their 2 cents. The Lodging Tax Advisory Committee is made up of 5 people, 1 council member, 2 people representing the hotel industry that pay the tax, and 2 people representing the recipients of the tax, these organizations here. Their thought at that meeting was, well, let's bring back up just a little bit. The available dollars that we had this year was about $38,000, $39,000 to allocate if we were going to still maintain a $40,000 balance in that fund, which has been kind of a not a resolution or ordinance, but it's been a desire of council. So we allocated those dollars there. And actually, they brought forward the 2015 allocation into the current year. Which is highlighted in yellow there. That brings our total ending balance to be just under 40,000 at 39,700. We had one organization drop out, which allowed us to keep the funding levels up at this level for each one of the organizations and not dip too far down below the 40,000. And again, the 40,000 has been there for a set aside for projects that might come up during the year, and the council can fund those out of those dollars. So I really apologize. I meant to include this in our overall budget discussion. So just add this in at the end.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
This 40,000 that we maintain as a balance. Mm-hmm. Has the state auditor's office in our audits ever commented that we really should be spending that money or divvying out that money rather than retaining it?
They've never addressed that, or not since I've been here.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, we continue that 40,000 has continued to roll over for probably at least the last 20 years or so, mm-hmm. And I do remember, since we've been here, the people around this table, we allocated money for the Cinderella carriage out of that 40,000.
No, we allocated money for the
old hotel, heating and cooling system.
For the RAP. They had a one-time request because they requested money for the trailer, and the trailer didn't fall under tourism funds, so we allocated money to them for an advertisement wrap for the trailer.
Well, that's
right.
That's all that we could
give them because Rotary had already bought the Cinderella carriage.
That was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the old hotel had a request for their heating and cooling system here
I imagine, 6 years ago, 7 years
that's
ago.
That's before they changed it's, the rules.
No, that we've, well, the 40,000 is always, like I said, there's not a resolution set for it.
Yeah.
It's just being carried on from council to council.
Yeah, I don't think that can be done anymore. I think the state changed the rules and it can't be used for that type of thing anymore, but
These dollars can be used by these organizations for marketing, advertising, and operational costs. But that would be capital, which would fall outside.
All right, let's, we'll come back to that later in the public hearing. Let's continue on with our public hearing. Again, is there anybody here who would like to speak in support of the 2016 Othello City budget? Hearing none, is there anyone who would like to speak who is neutral to this budget? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to the 2016 Othello City budget? Okay. With that, I will close the public testimony portion at 8:45 p.m. And now we'll go into deliberation where the council may, members may ask for additional information. So with that, we can go back to this discussion on this 40,000. Gina, you've been on the LTAC committee. Who else is on the LTAC committee?
Penny and...
Oh, any other council member?
No, just one council member.
One council member, that's you?
Yeah.
And then Spencer, you attend those meetings?
I attend, yes. I'm not part of that committee.
So you attend and provide information, and Wade, do you attend?
I'm not part of it.
Okay. So I guess what I'm getting at is that why are we keeping 40,000 in that fund?
I think we had, the reason that it's there is so that if we had a situation come up where a new group needs money or there's emergency situations where a group needs, like a couple years ago, the Krispy Kreme Festival was in danger of going under and they needed some extra funds to be able to continue functioning, and we were able to give them that out of that reserve and then build it back up the next year. And then we had the fellow Barracudas apply for a one-time, 1 year, and we were able to give them money. And so that we were able to expand it, and they can track it back. I think it's just there kind of as a reserve for emergency new groups.
Special requests.
Special requests. It gives us a little money to function with, to give them those things.
So do we need 40,000? That's the question.
Yeah.
I mean, none of those requests have been over, any years, been over 10,000.
No, I think that, I personally think that maybe we could function with half that.
Maybe we could start with that. I think, you know, there's a certain element of merit to keep at least 20,000, because what if a committee, the chamber, or a new nonprofit group comes forward and says, hey, we want to start a Founders Day celebration, and they want to do something similar to what the Centennial Committee had done, only they want to do it on an annual basis. Well, this would be the mechanism to help them get going, and we would actually have money that we wouldn't have to appropriate out of our general budget, which we probably wouldn't have to begin with, and allow them to continue. I don't know, Kelly, or you got any comment about that? Is that?
Off the top of my head, I don't have a comment on a legal opinion on whether that's possible or not. I've dealt with this fund before, specifically on what it can be used for. What you're describing sounds like it'd become within the scope of what you can use the fund for.
But at some point in time, Sean, your committee is doing the best they can to keep that budget at a zero. You know, I mean, they're spending everything available to them, up to $40,000 in reserve. So, like, if you totally even took that to zero and didn't have a reserve balance, you would be spending what you're generating every year, basically. And it looks to me like you're generating, you know, $40,000 a year. So that's what you got to spend. So I don't think you may be able to do it for 3 to 4 years, appropriate additional funds to the groups that are asking for the money, but at some point in time, you're going to get caught up, and then all of a sudden, it's going to be, we just need to keep our head above water.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we would want to do that. I think what we would want to do is just say that we have a policy that you keep $20,000 in there, do a one-time appropriation of the rest of that money to the groups that are in it now, and then keep that as the buffer.
I think so. I guess to agree with John, the one thing though I want to add is that the city has an application now for a 96-unit hotel. Actually, I don't know if we've received the application, but we have.
Conditional use, yes, but not building.
Mm-hmm. So that's significant, and there's a lot of complaints that people won't stay here because of our current, you know, level of hotel quality. But that should change. That should be a game changer with regard to the hotel motel tax. Right. And that's in our immediate future.
Yeah, there's no question that we lose to other communities because of what we have available to us. But this fund is funding groups that are actually promoting tourism. And if another one came along that requested money, you know, $10,000 because they wanted to hold an event or create tourism to come to Ovello, that's what we'd be spending our money on. Giving, you know, the car club another, you know, $300, is that going to make or break them? You know, are they going to make more funds for the city?
Well, I sat through a visioning session with the Chamber of Commerce, and one of the things they would like to do is a branding for the marketing of Ovello. And so that particular, and they didn't ask for that in this because they knew there wasn't that kind of money, but that branding session, I think, was it Kittitas County? Ellensburg did it. They did it for all of Kittitas County. They did it in 3 days. And they're running with that. Most of the time, a branding takes a long time, and they charge anywhere from $40,000 to $50,000 to $60,000 to come in and brand a community with a particular logo and font, and everything is all created. And this outfit will do it for approximately $12,000 to $15,000. And I think as this city is evolving and as these groups are moving forward, I think that is one of the next steps in marketing and branding the community. As we're moving forward into, we want people to come here, and we're developing reasons for them to come here. And one of the ways that we have to market them is with a uniform brand. So that could be used specifically for this. You know, well, we've got 40,000 in there. If you cut 12, 19, if we use 19,727 of that, and we gave the chamber, say, $12,000 to fund this branding concept, and then split the rest among the rest of the group, that's a smart use of our money, and we're not continuing to stockpile 40,000, because I don't think we need 40,000 in that particular. We still have 20,000. None of our requests over the last 20 years, additional ones out of this fund, have ever added up to more than 10,000 in 1 year. So I'm posing that to the council to think about. And if you want representatives from the council, or even it was Steve McFadden was the moderator for that session, he could begin to explain what that would entail, and if you guys would entertain something along those lines.
I'm not opposed to something like that, just making it a line item for
something specific. I like the idea of a specific thing.
Yeah.
I think what your comment was as well, if we just, you know, divvy it all out into something, it's just going to get spent and be gone.
I don't think you want to divvy it all out, but I think that, you know, if you look at our request, the requests are always quite a bit higher than what we've been able to fund, and taking the majority of that $19,000 and spending it all in one place, I don't think it'd be very fair. I think we've got a lot of groups that would want.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the Sand Hill Crane would like the full funding effort that they asked for, in addition to all the others. So, yeah, anyway, how do we go forward with that? Do we want to, that's outside the budget, is it not, or is that part of this budget?
Yeah, what you can do is the city council will recommend that that recommendation be brought back to the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee.
Okay.
And then you propose those changes. So we can bring that back to the next meeting.
I think the sponsoring group should make
they should have to take
proposal. Yeah, to the group. Yeah. And propose the ideal. I'm all for branding. I tried to push this, yes, quite a few years ago. I tried to push for it, and I was working with somebody from Seattle on it, on pricing, Roger. And I really believe we need to do something like that, because I think every one of these groups will benefit from it in the long run, too. It's proving it in Grant County and some other counties around us. So, but I think the sponsoring group needs to put together a presentation and take it to the LTAC committee first, and then.
Okay, Spencer.
Yeah, I was going to say, as another option, we can leave these numbers as they are now, and bring that idea back to the LTAC. And once that idea becomes fleshed out as a possibility and it becomes more of a reality, we can revisit the budget at that time and allocate those funds.
I like it. Okay. Is there any additional comment from the council about the 2016 budget? So we're not going to vote on the budget for tonight?
Correct.
Correct. Okay. So at this time, I'm going to close the public hearing for the 2016 budget at 8:57 p.m. And then we move to item 4.3, public hearing on the 2016 capital facility plan. And I would like to open the public hearing on the 2016 capital facility plan at 8:57 p.m. And Spencer, will you give a quick overview on that?
Yes, this is our capital facility plan, which is a six-year, looking into the future, 6 years at our capital facilities that we have, looking at the water, sewer, solid waste, functions of the city. It's also looking at the street, the police needs, the fire needs of the city. When we develop our budget, this is certainly a useful tool in looking in helping us look down the road to the future needs of the city. This is a plan that we've developed and we've discussed in our finance committee, and we've involved the police chief and public works director in developing this plan. There are a couple of things on here that you'll recognize from earlier discussions with our fire truck. We have we have both of these items here. We have $32,000 for the generator. We have $500,000 for a fire truck. Some of our earlier discussion talked about that being out in 2022. This is fine for us to put it here, so at least it's still on our radar. We have our park and recs projects down here with our street. It's always our plan to do as much street work as we can moving into the future.
Move to the next.
The next sheet here, we have our water, sewer, solid waste funds represented here. This is something that we use when we're developing our water, when we're developing our utility rates, not just water. We have our current well that we're going to be finishing in 16. We are with some of the well housing and some of those things, if not this year. In our future, we have another well either another well or another water project. In years past, we've always talked about another well, drilling well 10. These dollars here are roughly $2 million together, are dollars that we built our rates to help fund for that going down into the future. Then our sewer and our solid waste the same. In our sewer fund, we have our new sewer treatment plant, and our solid waste fund, we have our $55,000 for the alley approach improvements. So tonight, with your discussion, we can make changes to this. If you want to move something from one year to another year, increase something, we can just have general conversation about it, and then at our next meeting, we'll pass this as part of the budget process. It'll have its own ordinance.
Council? Oh, wait a minute. Thank you, Spencer. Sorry. At this time, I'd like to open public testimony with regard to the 2016 through 2021 capital facility plan for the city of Ofello. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in support of this plan? Is there anybody here who would like to speak and is neutral to the proposal? Is there anybody who is in opposition of this 2016 through 21 capital facility plan? Okay, hearing done, I'll close the public hearing at 9:01 p.m. And council, now you may have your deliberation about the plan, and if there's anything, well, this is the second time we've seen this, and I think we've seen it also in committee. So,
I've just heard one thing new tonight. Mm-hmm. Well, I heard it before, but this is the first time I got the numbers put together. Gary was mentioning that within 7 years, all of our air packs will be obsolete. And at $8,000 a pack at 26 packs, that's roughly $188,000. So we need to start planning for that down the future. So somewhere I think we need to get that figure in there, because that could be possibly a grant item.
Yeah.
And they, when you're starting to write grants, they're going to ask if
what's
that item. If what's in your capital facility plan, and I believe that needs to be added into that.
So what year?
So if you divide 188 by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, that would be about $30,000 a year, approximately.
Could you put it out of 2020?
Or would we just put $180,000 back on
the year 2021? Okay. And we'll just fund it out of money.
I think so. Check the math, yes, 200.
Oh, it's 200? Okay.
200 and something thousand.
Okay, so would you make that adjustment? Council, are you guys amenable to that? You guys like that idea?
Yeah, if that's equipment that has to be
eventually in the future,
it's safety.
Yeah. And if it's on there, then possibly we can get the grant for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else, Council, you'd like to see changed, added, subtracted? All right. Then we will, Spencer will present that for approval at the next city council meeting. Okay. Thank you, Spencer. Council.
Yes, we should.
Yes, add the $116,000 lawnmower to that. Under park and rec. We'll make Terry feel better.
I also added 50,000 this year, or in 16 for the new park and rec.
Thank you. Okay, is there any unfinished business
Moving on to item five, any unfinished business to come before the Othello City Council?
Question for Travis. When are you going to bring back the speed limit?
When are you going to bring back what?
The speed limit.
On the street. Good question. I don't think we had game planned on that. We have comprehensive plan discussions in December, so I think we were thinking January or February.
Okay.
Let's vote on it right now.
You want to vote on it right now, and I just need a motion. Or do you want to go through a process and discuss it more? That'd probably be...
Were you bringing back new information for us? Was there any new information that was requested for us?
I think council just wanted to bring back the discussion. I don't think that there was a question for some information.
Maybe just bring it back at next.
Next council meeting? Bring it back? And we, in discussion with Phil earlier tonight, consensus was by the group to table, to say no to the ordinance for the OMC to change the foul issue.
Council said no.
There was four of us that said we didn't want to see it back.
They don't want chickens and rabbits in town. What they said.
Okay, so did we vote on it or we just quashed it right there? Because in the consent agenda, you've actually changed the livestock OMC and rabbits are removed from the livestock OMC. So we're probably going to have to vote on something to put rabbits back into an OMC that are not allowed, because the previous OMC that covered was under livestock for rabbits. It was actually covered under the livestock OMC. Well, now you've changed the livestock OMC and rabbits is not on there. So you're not telling the people what, yes or no, you can't have rabbits because it's not in an OMC right now today.
Do you concur, Chief? Okay. So we do need to revisit that issue, which we will.
So now we actually need to come up with an OMC that actually states that you cannot have chickens or rabbits in the city limits of Othello.
The one that you presented to us allowed it, and we just said we didn't want it. Now we need to, now in John's point is that we need to...
We mixed the chickens and the rabbits into one ordinance. That ordinance, council's, my takeaway from that was council was not interested in that. With this livestock ordinance, I believe it does remove rabbits from it. Before we go redrafting and re-present this to council, what's council's belief on rabbits?
And chickens.
Well, should we separate the two, or should rabbits and chickens be considered the same? I've never once responded to a rabbit's complaint in my career.
I'm okay with rabbits, no chickens.
Yeah.
Yes, rabbits, no chickens.
Rabbits, no chickens.
Okay, all right, you're just going to have to, you're going to have to raise your hands. All in favor of rabbits?
No.
Okay, all in favor of chickens? We got two chickens. Okay, so yes for chickens, five no for chickens. So do you have your direction now?
So my direction is to bring it back, or a modification, or can we discuss it here? It was approved by consent.
I don't think we need a discussion. We just need to now implement the new ordinance.
The new ordinance
excludes rabbits.
Right. Mm-hmm. That would include rabbits and exclude chickens. All right.
So are we just going to modify the existing one that was still there?
No, I think he's going to have to rewrite
the OMC that was actually presented in front of the council when I wasn't here. Yeah, and it's going to have to be broken into two parts, one part for rent and the other part for chickens.
The ordinance that we approved tonight in consent, the livestock ordinance, excluded rabbits. We're now silent on rabbits in our, as far as I can recall, in the municipal code. So if we leave everything as it is right now, rabbits stand. If I bring anything back to council, it would be chickens. Because it doesn't need to be.
You're saying rabbits are good.
But are you going to allow 100 rabbits in somebody's backyard?
Yeah,
you're going to want to write a OMC that will cover rabbits.
200? I would agree.
You're going to have to come up with some regulations regarding rabbits and the control of it, and then you're just going to state in another OMC that fowl are not of any kind are not allowed in city limits.
I will bring a rabbit ordinance to council. And my understanding is I will not be bringing a chicken ordinance to council.
Chickens are excluded.
I mean, they're
prohibited.
Prohibited.
Yes, they are prohibited. And if they bring a rooster in, it's a C-11 zoning violation subject to... Okay.
Right. Is that what he was saying?
Mark, you got anything else you want, Mark? Anybody else? Any other unfinished business?
They were banned.
Order, please. Is there any other unfinished business to come before the council tonight?
We need to get clear. No, we just need to get clear on the chickens. The ordinance we repealed on the livestock. We have to bring an ordinance in that says we're going to ban chickens and poultry. Correct.
That's my interpretation.
No, we have an ordinance in place that we did not repeal, because part of putting the new chicken and rabbits ordinance in front of council would have repealed. Our fowl ordinance.
Okay.
That ordinance stood and stands. What we did was we broke the rabbit portion, so that's where I'll fix it with an ordinance.
Okay. Thank you for pointing that out, John. Okay. So finished business tonight. Is there any new business to come before tonight's meeting? Okay, I have a couple of announcements. The comprehensive plan open house through the auspices of the Planning Commission will be this Thursday night at 6, and next Monday night at 6, they're going to discuss maps and goal discussions. Travis will be leading us and the Planning Commission through that process. That's again this Thursday at 6 and Monday at 6 p.m., and that's both here at City Council. Okay. I want to remind council that we've set December 7th at 6:30 p.m. to be our transportation benefit district meeting, and have some discussions about putting a proposal before the citizens to that would. I'm sorry.
To prepare.
Yeah. So. I encourage you to talk to staff if you have any questions. There's also information that you guys have received in the past. The other thing I'd like to bring up is that their AWC City Action Days is January 27th and 28th in Olympia. By a show of hands, is there anybody here that would like to attend this AWC City Action Days?
I would highly encourage anybody to come to it, because it was a really good learning experience, and not only that, but getting to speak with our state leaders.
Mm-hmm. They were here last week, and they're already getting ready to put us on their agendas for the 27th to meet with them. And so it's January 27 and 28. That's like a Wednesday and a Thursday. We go over probably Tuesday, depending on when it starts. But I think it starts in the morning on Wednesday.
and it goes all day Wednesday, and then at least half a day Thursday, and then you go meet with your legislators and go on the Hill. So that's an opportunity. If you haven't gone, it's in the budget of the travel. It's a very good learning experience. You see how our state legislature works. It's good to have the relationship with our electeds, and it's also an opportunity to go visit other program managers who fund grant funding, to go see them in Olympia. They really like that. And there's quite a bit of training that takes place.
There's a lot of really good breakout sessions, especially with some of the legislators on current budget issues. I've attended the last four, and it's been a good deal of information, really good information.
So anybody besides myself and Gina interested? You're going to have to take time to get off work, though. Okay.
And Larry.
Larry will be. Okay. So tentatively, we'll make reservations for four, and if we have to, we'll cancel. But we'll make hotel reservations first. We can always do the conference registrations later. Okay? All right. That's all I had. Transportation Benefit District.
When is that?
That's December 7th at 6:30 p.m. That's just before our council workshop. With that, and having no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 9:60 p.m.